All right, well, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, The Right Side Way, as always, brought to you by Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law and a longtime conservative, and, oh, by the way, the daily sponsor of The Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. Okay, so as I prepared for the show today, I could not help but reflect on the fact that we are still in a government shutdown. Like I said a moment ago, the shutdown Shinola is running deep. Now, much of the world does not feel it the same way, right? The private sector rocks on. It has to. People go to work. But eventually, it does begin to hit home as parks are closed and paperwork can't get processed as quickly and federal legal systems slow down and the pace of life has to slow. And then, next thing you know, our troops and our law enforcement begin to worry about getting paid, so that means the stores and the restaurants outside the main gate in every military town might be seeing less revenue as military families tighten their belts. Licenses and passports don't get issued to travel, and business takes a pause. Tourism can slow down in areas where people usually go to something seen in the beautiful fall, but they can't right now because the park rangers and the maintenance staff are all on furlough. And pretty soon, the private sector begins to feel the public sector's pain. And yet, still the Democrats pander and claim that their only real concern is just sticking up for the little guy. Not really. They claim they can't do what they've done for the past ever so many years. They can't just simply fund government at current levels. Make no mistake, this is a Democrat-imposed government shutdown. And why? Because they want to spend more money. Government always spends more money, right? But Democrats want to spend more money. I mean, like money we may not even have. Democrats are denying people their paychecks because they want to spend more money, and that's the crux of the matter. And your government is currently shut down while Dems demand to spend it like they've got it. Now, we've all had those times, right? I know we have. Everybody here who's listening right now has probably had those times where you had to rob Peter to pay Paul. And by that, I mean, I'm sure that most folks listening to this have had those days where paying one bill meant not being able to pay another. Or for that matter, maybe you've had times when some very important bills got paid on a credit card. And it can be extremely frustrating. And if you're not careful, it can get away from you in a hurry. To this day, I'm not sure how our family made it through my late-in-life decision to go to law school. I mean, there I was in my early 30s. I had a wife, two kids, a dog, and a mortgage, and now I go to law school? But with careful application of a second mortgage on the house, a little bit of GI Bill, two very modest day job paychecks, and a credit card, the shell game played out for 3 years. And using that credit card for daily trips to Birmingham to go to class, and then pay down the balance as best we could, draw from the credit line to pay the tuition when the GI Bill was short, pay it back down, draw it again when the regular paycheck got irregular. It was 3 years of financial tightrope walking. But God was faithful. And I graduated. And somehow the light stayed on, and the kids always had Christmas. And Charlene, she was often the miracle worker. I've said it before, but I'll brag on her again. She literally used to sit down every month, and she would plan out every dinner for the whole month. Every last one. And then she would take stock of what we had in the cupboard and she'd make a shopping list for all the ingredients she had to have to make all those meals. And when she did that, it planned it out so well. I remember once being in a group of friends. Somebody was complaining about the cost of groceries. And I told them how Charlene handled our groceries and they were so impressed, but their appreciation turned to shock when I told them she fed the whole family of four and the dog for around $250 a month. One lady said, "My word, I spend that every week." There weren't many vacations, but the kids always had new clothes for school, and truthfully, we didn't lack for anything. In my recollection, there was actually a lot of laughter in the house, and we have said many times that we don't take it for granted, not by a stretch. But what I just described to you is what so many others have done or are doing now, but the Biden economy we just went through that was so much more pronounced put us into 40-year inflation highs. And Charlene and I, back in the day, we learned firsthand what it had to mean to be to live within our means. And do we have some debt now? Of course we do. Sure, we're still paying the mortgage on that beautiful home. But generally speaking, we're doing what many of you are doing, trying to live within our means, paying our bills, staying current, keeping the credit card managed, keeping our insurance premiums current, giving our tithes and our gifts, trying hard to be responsible and be good stewards. It's what most folks do, right? Because it's expected that we would be financially responsible. Unless you're the federal government. Because apparently the federal government is allowed to operate in a spending deficit at every turn. Like, you know, deficit spending, is that's a term that every American should know firsthand, right? It's literally defined as government spending in excess of revenue of the funds that are raised by borrowing rather than from taxation. Wow. The bottom line is that where Charlene and I threaded the financial needle to get me through law school, with the understanding that every dime of debt we incurred would have to be repaid, Congress never feels that pinch. Their deficit spending is illusory. It presents to the world the false notion that they've got it when they really don't. It is spending more than you got, but somehow in the halls of Congress, that's apparently allowable. Again and again and again. And every year, the United States government collects revenue from taxes and it spends it on its public programs and its agencies, and if any given year it spends more than it earns, its yearly budget will result in a deficit. And then to cover the deficit, the U.S. Treasury has to borrow money by selling securities like treasury bills and bonds and savings bonds to the public. Just like an individual who spends more than what he earns will have to borrow from the missing amount from a credit card. Well, the accumulated deficits year after year from the outstanding U.S. national debt are huge. Just spend it like you got it, man. Well, this week, the Democrats are pushing forward in their never-ending zeal to grow government by refusing to open government. That's right. Democrats don't want to go through the normal appropriations processes. They don't want to responsibly align spending with revenue. They just want to bypass all the usual and regular order of business and shut down government because they can't get a massive spending bill passed on their own. So, a predicted $1.65 trillion in spending comes at a time when the national debt sits over $30 trillion. And Democrats are demanding right now an increase or they will continue to hold out on federal employees and contract obligations. And it got me to thinking, has there ever been a government leader in modern U.S. history who actually worked to reduce our public debt in like a meaningful way? Well, you may be interested to know there was one. So let me give you a quick history lesson. It was President Calvin Coolidge. Not so long ago, I read a biography on Coolidge, and I came to a real appreciation for the man. His bio from the Coolidge Foundation says a few things about him. It says this: John Calvin Coolidge, born in Plymouth Notch, Vermont, on Independence Day, July 4, 1872. His family led a very simple life, and Coolidge worked from the time he was very young. In other words, he had a work ethic, y'all. Coolidge entered the practice of law and politics, and he worked his way up the ladder of Massachusetts state politics, eventually becoming the governor. Coolidge was elected to be the vice president of the United States in 1920, but he succeeded to the presidency upon the sudden death of Warren G. Harding in August of 1923, and then in 1924, he was elected to be president outright. Under Coolidge, the federal budget was balanced and the national debt reduced. Think about that. When Coolidge left office in 1929, the federal budget was actually lower than when he arrived at the White House 67 months before. He had a favorite quote. He used to say, "I am for economy, and after that, I'm for more economy." The nation fared so well under Coolidge that people talked about things like Coolidge prosperity. President Coolidge left office wildly popular, and he famously chose not to run for re-election, even though he could have, believing that the chances of having a wise and public service are increased by the change in presidential office, he said, after a moderate length of time, meaning he also believed in term limits. It's really kind of amazing when you stop to think about it. Under his leadership, the federal budget was actually lower when he left office than it was when he first came into office. It's possible. It is. It's not necessarily easy, but it's certainly possible for a visionary leader to address fiscal policy effectively. Coolidge may have lived in a different time. He certainly didn't take office with the kind of debt like we see now, but his principles and his adherence to those principles are timeless, and they are lacking right now, especially as we watch Democrats in Congress just continue to spend it like they've got it. And if they can't get what they want, a blank check to borrow on credit, then they'll just shut down the government and leave people without a paycheck. It is time to reopen the government. It is time to put things back in order and get back to regular order appropriations and responsible spending. It is possible. Somebody, please give them this lesson. Somebody tell them to quit trying to spend it like they got it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.